for those I haven't seen, the Lord bless you in 2019. Pete and Anne, great encouragement to us. We've got a few years to go, so we're still apprentices. But we're learning. So the word endurance was used, but I must tell you, if I had the choice over again, I'd marry the same girl. That isn't said because she's here, by the way, but it's true. Good news today. That's what I want to talk about, good news. There's an old saying which says, we don't know what our future holds, but we know who holds our future. And that's an old, well-worn saying, but it's true. Don't lose it. We know who holds our future, and that's very important. If you have your Bibles, we're turning to John chapter 10. We're looking at Jesus, the series Just Jesus. We're looking at Jesus the Good Shepherd. Jesus the Good Shepherd. Just going to read the first five verses. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, so if it sounds a bit different to the one in front of you, it's because of the translators. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of the stranger. So today I want to talk to you about the Good Shepherd. And this whole chapter, incidentally, I'd encourage you to read it. It's a greatly encouraging chapter about the Good Shepherd, Jesus the Good Shepherd. But you know, Dr. Google has got the answers to most things in life, isn't it true? I went to see a doctor once and he was going to put me on a certain drug, and I said to him, doesn't this drug have a bad side effect? So he put his glasses down and said, now let me think, you've been talking to Dr. Google. And so we often do. We turn to Dr. Google for all sorts of things. Dr. Google told me that hearing problems develop in men more often than they develop in women. So be encouraged, guys. That's why you're not hearing your wife. As we age, we start using a lot of words like sorry, just say again, or pardon, I didn't get that, or we just say huh. Because we didn't hear very well, did we? It's called iodidom. And so they become part of our vocabulary. Of course, there can be advantages to this, as I discovered a few years ago. If you use it skillfully and you use it often enough, you get discounts and you get all sorts of other courtesies. People look after you because poor old guy can't hear too well. The negative can be that when people are talking to you, they tend to start to shout or speak loudly, which can become a bit disruptive. But you know, this problem isn't just confined to older people. Younger people often develop an ailment called selective hearing, where they seem to hear only certain things, and those certain things usually relate to good food, or they relate to chocolate or other pleasant perceptions. And this impediment holds the potential for relieving the sufferer from unpleasant tasks or answering difficult questions and all those things. And it can be observed in the very young. But people can develop that as they get older. But you know, we can also get calloused hearing. Calloused hearing. People move into a house and there's a railway line right behind it. And for the first few months, all you hear all the time is this train going past. But you know, after a few months, you didn't notice the train go past. You get calloused hearing. But you know, humor aside, I want to say this, that hearing is a real gift from God. To hear is amazing. Hearing is so important. Imagine if you lost your hearing. Just imagine today, something happened and you lost your hearing. No more music. You wouldn't hear music. No more birds in the trees. No more children laughing. No more bubbling streams. No more wind in the grass. You wouldn't hear all that if you lost your hearing. Just endless silence. But we all know that in our world we're bombarded with many voices. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, we're getting bombarded all day long. The advertising industry is constantly developing newer and cleverer ways to get us to buy things we don't need with money that we don't have. Isn't that true? We get this all the time. You know, if you buy three Volkswagens, you get the cheapest one free. I wish. Politicians use beautiful photographs of them when they were 20 years old on their billboards and offer unachievable promises with eloquent speeches. And even in the churches, we find leaders promoting conflicting ideas and views, and so it goes on. And our world can be very confusing. You hear this and you hear that, and we're often led down the garden path by the voices that we hear. And so the question I have for you this morning is this. Who are we listening to? Who are we listening to? A very vitally important question for each of us today. Who are we listening to? The church today has many voices. Many high-profile preachers in expensive suits flying around in their own jets or driving around in their limousines. They look impressive and they speak eloquently with such authority. But is their message true? Is what you're hearing true? Paul warned young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. He says, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itchy ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And folks, this is very true in the church. We start to gather around us the people we like to hear, not necessarily the people who are preaching the truth, and they'll turn away from listening to the truth, and they'll wander off following myths. So Jesus starts off this passage that I read to you just now, and he starts off with two words. He says, truly, truly, I say to you. Truly, truly. Why does he do that? Why does he repeat the words? Have you seen that all over the New Testament? If you have the old Bible, it says, verily, verily. If you've got hithers and thithers. But in the modern translations, truly, truly, Jesus says. In the Hebrew, it's a manner of emphasizing that what is about to be said is true, and it has some gravity. And we might say, sit up and pay attention. This is important. And so Jesus says to each of us today, sit up and pay attention. He says this, he who gets into the sheepfold by some other way, other than the door, is a thief and a robber. There's only one way into the sheepfold, and this is through the door. Have any of you seen a sheepfold? We were 4x4ing in Lesotho some while ago, and there I saw a sheepfold up on the hillside. Quite biblical. Quite Lesotho too. Why did he say this? Because Jesus could look down into our time from way back then, and he could see people getting into the sheepfold under false pretenses. They spoke well, they looked good, they had good works, they had good character, they had good education, they get into the sheepfold. He could also see false shepherds sneaking in who were only interested in their own interest, like pride, petticoats and pennies, or to bring it more to home, self-esteem, self-gratification and self-enrichment. And there are people in the ministry like that today. And the truth is that Jesus is the only way into the sheepfold. Just Jesus. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In John chapter 10 and verse 9, he says, I am the door. I'm the door of that shepherd, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. And so in our passage this morning, Jesus says, truly, truly, sit up and pay attention. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold but by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. And listen to this. The sheep hear his voice. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. He calls out his own sheep by name. By name. The revealing factor in what Jesus says is his voice. Jesus' voice. According to BBC, the Earth Discovery program that I looked at, it says that sheep have received some bad press. The reputation of sheep is that they are stupid, defenseless, harmless creatures that mope about on hillsides, not doing very much, and they are good for only two things, being eaten and producing wool. And that's the view we have of sheep, isn't it true? We think, oh, they're so sick, really. And then we have Jesus saying, we are all sheep, and we don't feel so great about that. But you know, the reality is quite different. The reality is that sheep are actually quite surprisingly intelligent, with impressive memory and recognition skills. They build friendships, they stick together, they defend one another in fights. They feel sad when their friends go off to the abattoirs. I would probably do the same thing, I think. And they're also one of the most destructive creatures on the planet. That's what sheep are. A sheep can identify the voice of the shepherd. They can identify the voice of the shepherd. And Jesus said that his sheep hear his voice. His sheep hear his voice. And he calls them by name. Jesus calls them by name. We are honored when somebody calls us by name. And I must confess to you that I've got an atrocious memory. But isn't it wonderful when you meet somebody who you haven't seen for a long time and they say, oh, hello, Pete. Or hello, whoever. You feel good when they use your name. Isn't it true? And I feel bad because so often I forget that, but that's called Iodidom too. Do you know that God knows your name? God knows your name. Isaiah 43 from 1 to 3, it says this, but now says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. God says, I've called you by name. You're not just a face in a crowd. God has called you by name as an individual. He's called you. And he goes on to say, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, they shall not be burnt. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isn't that comforting? Isn't it wonderful to have that sort of encouragement from our God this morning? And not only this, but once we are the followers of our shepherd, once we are the ones who are following after our shepherd, he gives us a new name. In Isaiah 62, he says, nations shall see your righteousness, all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. By a new name. And don't we give each other new names in our marriages and in our families? We have a name which gets registered, but then we get given a name by our siblings. Sometimes it's a bit derogatory, but often it's just an endearment that we call each other, and we get a new name. Is it true? God has given us a new name. In John chapter 10, this passage we're dealing with this morning, from verse 3, he says, to him the gatekeeper opened, the sheep hear his voice, he calls out his own sheep by name, and he leads them out, and when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. How wonderful is this? We are not just sheep in a flock, but God knows us individually by name. And that's very encouraging. God knows our name. But what happens if you've got a bit of uncertainty as to whether this voice you're hearing is actually God's voice? Because we have such conflicting voices in the world, don't we? How do we know if it is God's voice? Many Christians today claim that God spoke to them and God told them to do this or to do that. But how do we know it was God's voice? How can we be sure? Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 says this, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. There is a way that seems right to man. So we may think about something, but this seems all right. But the Bible says its end is the way of death. Not every whim and fancy of our imagination is the voice of God. Not every time we get a good thought in our head is it the voice of God. We need to be absolutely sure of this. God seeks a relationship with each one of us. But you need to know that God has your very best interests at heart. When God deals with you, he's got your very best interests at heart. And that verse which many of you can recite for me, I'm sure, in Jeremiah 29, God says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. When you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you seek me with all your heart. And Psalm 37 verse 23 says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So God wants to communicate with us, but how can we be sure it is his voice that we're listening to? And so lastly, I just want to give you six ways to discern God's voice. These aren't the only six, but these six are a good way to know if you're dealing with God's voice or not. The first is patience. Patience, we need patience. Psalm 27 verse 14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. We're always in a hurry, aren't we? We're going to go out just now and have coffee. And what do? You take a teaspoon of coffee and you put it in the cup and you stir it and there's your coffee. We're an instant society. We want action now. But the Bible says to us, wait for the Lord. Don't be in a hurry. Patience doesn't come easy to us, but we need to learn and to practice patience. So if you want to hear God's voice, the first thing I want to say to you is that you need to have patience. And then the second one, and probably the most important one, is this. The second way to know God's voice is the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You know, the Bible is called God's Word, and it's not called God's Word for nothing. It is actually God's Word. And if you will listen, and if you will hear God speak to you from this book, you will hear his heart. The more you read, the more that you listen, the more that you wait, the more you will begin to hear the authentic voice of God, if you will read his word. So what does God's word say when you're wondering, is this God's word or not? Thirdly, I want to say this. Is it God's word? The Holy Spirit of God in us. When the Spirit of truth comes, Jesus said in John 16, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will guide you into all truth if you will rely on God's Holy Spirit. In John 14, it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, to be with you forever. And then Jesus goes on in that verse and he says, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you, the Holy Spirit in you, God in you, the hope of glory. So often we talk of the Holy Spirit. When we talk about him, we think in terms of lightning and thunder. We talk about healing. We talk about raising the dead and pyrotechnics. Don't we? We think like that. Think of the Holy Spirit. And so often we forget that God, the Holy Spirit, is holy. He's a holy God. In Isaiah 30, it says this, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the left and to the right. The Holy Spirit of God will speak to you. So the question is it God speaking to me or not? What does the Holy Spirit within you say? And then next, and linked to this, are the gifts. The third thing is God's gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that is in your heart. Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast to what is good. Test everything. How do you test it? How do you test it? You test it by the Word of God. How do you test it? You test it by patience. By patience and the Word of God. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not for our decoration or for our esteem. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are for God's glory. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to us are to guide us and to help us to identify His voice and to glorify His name. That's what the gift of the Holy Spirit is for us. Then fourthly, godly counsel. This is also a very important one. Proverbs chapter 11, where there is no guidance, people falls, but in abundance of counselors, there is safety. Listen to godly counsel. And sometimes, I must just tell you, sometimes godly counsel can be incidental. You haven't deliberately gone to speak to somebody about this thing you're thinking of. You haven't said, can I just sit down with you and discuss a problem? You haven't done that. but you've gone to tea somewhere or you just meet somebody at coffee outside and you haven't even told them what your problem is. I've had this happen to me. And we start talking. And suddenly, this person starts speaking into your life. They don't even know what's going on in your heart, but you hear them and it's God speaking. It's God speaking. But you can also go to somebody, especially somebody you know is a godly person, somebody who prays, and you can seek godly counsel. And often God will speak through a godly brother or a godly sister. And that's a very important component in hearing God's voice. And then the peace of God, Colossians chapter 3, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called one body. And be thankful. When God speaks to you, there will be no contradiction in any of the above that I gave you just now. When God speaks to you, what goes on in your heart needs to tie up with what the scriptures say. When God speaks to you, there'll be no contradiction when you hear God speak to you through counsel. When God speaks to you, there'll be no contradiction. You will know when God speaks to you, all these things line up and you know that God is busy talking to you. And when all the other things work together that we've spoken to, you know you're dealing with God speaking to your heart. And then I would just caution you and say, don't try to force the lock. And we all often try to force the lock. We've got such a burning desire to do something, and it looks like it's fun. Quite harmless, it won't hurt anybody, and we push and we push. And at the end we might even say, and God told me to do this, but did he really, or did you force the lock? And we are apt to do that. We need to rest in God. In John chapter 10, this passage we've been dealing with, Jesus says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Do you know his voice today? Have you heard God speak to your heart today? I've heard him speak to my heart today. I can tell you stories and you won't have them here this morning because there's no time. But God has led us in the past. And how's he done it? Through these things that I've mentioned to you. It's the voice of our shepherd that we're listening to. Somebody who has our best interests at heart. It's the voice of love and peace. It's not the voice of conflict and confusion. I encourage you today, hear him, listen for him today, and follow him. Amen. Shall we close in prayer? Hear that?
Yeah, thanks, Owen. It's great to have ministry like that. And I believe that in Israel, when the shepherds take their sheep out, they all congregate at a water point and spend the day chatting under the trees. And at the end of the day, they just whistle and off they go to their own sheep pens, and the sheep just follow them. And we used to have sheep on our farm, and we had a shepherd who, when he took the sheep out, he walked ahead of them. And they just walked out. He didn't have to go behind them and chase them along as one expects. So thanks, Owen, for that ministry. And we need to really hear the Lord's voice, because that's our life. That's the sort of life that we need to lead. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this ministry that's taken place here today. We thank you for all our hearts that have been ministered to. Thank you for soft hearts that are ready to receive the word. And so, Jesus, as we gather now to have tea and coffee together, I pray that we be a time of blessing and ministry to each other. So lead us out now in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Tony made the point that anybody who would like to come up for healing after this now would please do that, and we'll anoint you with oil and pray for you. Thanks.